Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 289. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about the color, the noise, and the crowds as we go to Lagos, Nigeria. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into this week's interview, I do have three news stories for you. The first one is the TSA is again playing with can they improve the boarding procedure. What they're planning on doing is expanding their secure flight pre-screening program. Basically, this is where you trade in a lot of information about you for the ability to get on flights a little faster. Speaking of airlines, there is some complaints about airlines these days. In a list of 19 most hated companies in America from the Atlantic, there are four airlines. Coming in at number two most hated company in the U.S. is Delta Airlines, their satisfaction rating being 56 out of 100. And then a little bit behind them is U.S. Airways, coming in at number six, United at number seven, and American Airlines at number eight. So some things to work on there. And then finally, in probably the weirdest news story we have this week, there's some possibility that North Dakota is not a state. Now, I don't just mean that from the point of view that North Dakota gets no love and is 50th out of 50 states in terms of tourism, but literally, they may have had an illegal constitution that is in conflict with the U.S. Constitution because of a problem as they created it. And so some people think that North Dakota is legally not a state. For links to all those stories, check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome the show David from London, who is coming to talk to us about Nigeria. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And I say from London, but you are originally from Nigeria.
Yes, I am from Nigeria. Both my parents are Nigerian. I have spent quite a bit of my life in Nigeria, but I spent the other half in the UK, so I'm from both places.
And I'm from the US, and so I believe the understanding of everybody in the U.S. is the only people who live in Nigeria are princes who send emails.
Yeah.
So are you a prince? Let's start with that, first of all.
I'm the one Nigerian.
He's the one who's not. Okay.
I think that's why I had to leave the country. Yeah. I've got to admit, those guys have cast quite a bad light on the country. But there's a lot of Nigerians, and the majority of them aren't princes and don't send emails.
So let's set a more real expectation of what people would find when they came to Nigeria. First of all, Nigeria is not necessarily on everybody's list. I would say as I look at the African continent, it's not the most scary place, but neither is it the least scary.
No, that's true. I've got to admit, even Nigerians themselves don't expect tourists to come. This last time, the visit to Nigeria that I'm going to be talking to you about, there were places I went and I'd say, oh, I'd like to go there to have a look. And people look at me as if I'm crazy. So Nigeria isn't on most people's list of destinations. And I think most Nigerians don't expect to receive many people visiting for pleasure.
Okay. So what would you recommend for people as an itinerary if they wanted to come to Nigeria and see the best parts in a relatively short period of time? Where should we go?
I think if you come to Nigeria, one place you should go, and this is probably going to go against all advice you get from everywhere else is you should go to Lagos.
Which is the capital city and the largest city.
Actually, it's no longer the capital city.
Oh, I did not realize that. Okay.
Yeah, Lagos used to be the capital city, but it is the commercial capital. The capital city is a city called Abuja. So Nigeria has kind of a New York, Washington thing going on where one city is where all the money is and the other city is where the government is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is it a new capital like Brasilia where they...
It is, yes. Okay. It's a completely built city from the ground up. And it's around, I'm guessing here, but I think it's around 30 years old. And it became the capital something like 20 years ago.
Okay.
But the first place you should go and where you'll probably fly into is Lagos. Unless you've traveled in Africa before, Lagos is nothing like anything you've ever seen. And to be honest, even if you have traveled in Africa, it probably still is nothing like you've ever seen. It's chaotic. It's crazy. It's, I don't know, exuberant. It's everything turned up to 11. It's the maddest place I've been. And actually, that's why you should go there. You're not going to get a relaxing holiday going to Lagos. But if you want to see human life at the extreme, and I don't mean extreme in a bad way, but just millions of people in a small place, everyone full of life, everyone exuberant, everyone seemingly happy, Lagos is the place to go.
And if we go to Lagos, are there things you would recommend that we do or go within what is, my understanding, a fairly large city?
Yes, it is. I think it's either the largest or the second largest city in Africa. I'm not sure what's number one. It's either Lagos or Cairo. One of them's the largest city. Things I'd recommend you do when you're in Lagos. Well, like I said, Lagos isn't set up, or Nigeria's not set up for a lot of tourism. So you're going to have to get rid of your usual ideas of go to a few museums and, you know, the normal things you do when you're on holiday. You go to Lagos really for the people and for the street life. And Lagos is such a cultural hub within Africa. It's probably the dominant cultural hub in Africa. So there's lots of music, movies, things like that. All of that, the whole movie industry, music industry in Africa is pretty much centered in Lagos. And that's the life you need to go throw yourself into.
And you say in Africa, and it may be naive of me, but I think of Africa as almost two continents, really sub-Saharan and Northern Africa.
Yes.
So first of all, is that an arbitrary distinction that's just me as a stupid American or?
No, I think you're right, to be honest.
Okay.
And mostly when those of us from sub-Saharan Africa say Africa, we really just mean sub-Saharan Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Lagos is, I would say, probably the cultural capital of sub-Saharan Africa. And I don't know if you've heard of, you know, the Broadway musical Fela, or Fela.
I don't know much about it, but...
Well, it's about a Nigerian musician who was popular from the 60s to the 90s when he died of HIV-related illnesses. And he played a type of music called Afrobeat, which has always been very popular in Africa and in Nigeria. But since the musical was on Broadway and here in the UK, I think there's been a revival of interest in him, at least in the West. So if you go, assuming you've been to see the musical and you've got an interest in him, going to Lagos, it makes sense to go to, there's a club there called Africa Shrine, which he set up when he was alive, and his son now runs. It plays Afrobeat, his kind of music, and it's, let me put it this way, a fella pretty much lived by his own rules. He didn't quite believe in the laws of the land and did a lot of drugs, smoked weed, drank a lot. And if you go to the shrine, the club there, you do see lots of people dancing to his music and kind of living life his way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You don't have to. I mean, again, lots of people go there to visit and have a good time and enjoy the music and dance and have a good night out. And there's no compulsion to do drugs if you don't want to. But do be aware that there will be people smoking weed if you go there. But apart from that, as long as that doesn't put you off, it's a very, very nice night out.
Okay.
And by the way, I looked up, and it looks like Lagos is currently the third largest city behind both Cairo and Kinshasa, but the second fastest growing, the seventh fastest growing in the world at this point.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I thought we were at least in the top two, but there you go.
Well, it sounds like give it some time.
Yes.
Anything else we should do in Lagos before we get out to more of the countryside?
Most of your visit to, if you're going by an itinerary that I would recommend, I'll say spend a lot of your time in Lagos, and I'll tell you why. It's because Nigeria is this huge country with, I think, 250 different languages are spoken in Nigeria, 500 different dialects are spoken in Nigeria. I might be wrong with this stat too, but I believe Nigeria is the country with the third most languages in the world after Papua New Guinea and Indonesia. So there's this great diversity in Nigeria, which makes it such a lively place, but also makes some parts of it kind of dangerous. So there are parts of the country where there's rioting and where people don't get on. And those parts of the country, obviously, you should avoid. In addition, Nigeria is a huge exporter of oil, and there are parts in the oil area, the Niger Delta, where things aren't that safe. There are huge oil spills. I heard something, and I'm not sure this is accurate, but I did hear that in the Niger Delta in Nigeria, as much oil is spilled as the whole ExxonMobil thing that happened last year, the year before, that's spilled in Nigeria each year. So that part of the country you probably want to avoid.
And so that's the southernmost portion of the country then?
That's correct,
kind of,
yeah.
South, central. Okay.
Yes, it is, yeah. So that part is actually a really beautiful part of the country. I went to university there, but I wouldn't advise anyone to go there now. It's not safe. So the safest places to be, by and large, would be Lagos, which is ironic because it's got such a reputation for high crime rate, and Abuja, which is a very safe place. But back to your question, what you asked me is what else should you do?
Mm-hmm.
So assuming you go to the Africa Shrine and listen to some Afrobeat, that's all well and great. But what's happening now in Nigeria culturally in the music scene is there's a lot of American influence. And so a lot of African hip hop is being produced in Nigeria now. It's really popular with the young people and people all across sub-Saharan Africa. And it would be a shame if you go to Lagos and you don't find out where there's a show going on, a concert, or maybe go to a club and see what's happening in that scene. It's huge and it's really lively and it's so much fun.
You know, it sounds to me from what you're saying that if we grew up on National Geographic pictures of Africa, we don't go to Lagos to see Africa the way it was 100 years ago. We go to Africa to see the way Africa is today, or maybe today and tomorrow.
That's correct, yes. Okay. There's not a lot of the whole half-naked people in clay hut. You don't get a lot of that in Lagos. Although, having said that, I've got to warn you, Lagos is by no means a beautiful modern city. Yes, it's got some parts have its skyscrapers and all of that, but lots of the buildings are quite ramshackle. But just not National Geographic.
And what's the best way to interact with the local culture? You talked about going to clubs. If you wanted to meet and interact with locals, what are the best opportunities?
Well, I was thinking about this, actually, while getting ready for this. And what I'd recommend, it's a bit different for me, obviously, because I've got friends and family out there. What I'd recommend is if you were going to Nigeria and didn't know anyone there, it's probably a good idea to go on something like Couchsurfing first or some such website.
Okay.
And speak to, or at least email people in Nigeria. Because the country's not set up for tourism, it's really hard to find your way around without a local guide. So it'll probably be a wise investment of your time to spend a little time getting into contact or make a friend in Nigeria before you go there, so you have someone who maybe would be willing to tell you what's going on that weekend or advise you on where to go, because things change so rapidly in Lagos that you need someone on the ground there to advise you.
And we should remind people, too, that just because you're going to couchsurfing.com doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be sleeping on someone's couch. You may just meet them for lunch or just communicate with them ahead of time. Okay.
Yes, that is what I mean. I would say go stay in a hotel, but just meet them ahead of time and use them as a local resource.
And we talked about it being maybe different from my expectations. What's going to surprise me most about Lagos?
Even if you expect Lagos to be loud and full of life and colorful and everything turned up way beyond you'd imagine any city can be, even if you expect that, it will still surprise you. Lagos is bigger and brasher and madder than you can expect. I just went back on a holiday myself after being away for 5 years, and even I was shocked. And I've been to Lagos before many times. Even I was shocked at how mad it is. You have small roads with millions of cars on it. You have people driving every direction. Everyone talks a lot louder than they need to. You see two people standing right beside each other just shouting, and that's a friendly conversation.
Now, of course, you've been living in England. People say that about us Americans as well. So,
yeah, I know. But even Americans will be surprised. It's just amazing. It's almost as if everything is in fast forward when you go to Lagos. And I know not everyone would like that, but if you're willing to brave it, then I really would say you should go to Lagos because it's amazing in that respect.
Are there any other cultural things that we should do or see?
I think one thing you should do, you should go to a market in Lagos. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might as well throw yourself in at the deep end. And, you'd be shocked by the colors and the sounds and sights of the market. For instance, there's a market in a part of town called Yaba, called Tejo Osho Market. You could go to that one, although, to be honest, any market in the city will do. And just walk through it and have a look at the fruits, the vegetables, the crazy knockoffs from China. Everything's on sale in those markets. And I think it's worth a visit, definitely, to go into a market. I was going to say one other thing was you should try and see a Nigerian movie. I don't know if you've heard of Nollywood, which is what they call the Nigerian movie industry.
I have not.
It's actually the second largest movie industry in the world behind Bollywood. It recently overtook Hollywood, and that's in number of movies made rather than definitely not quality and, and definitely not budget.
Right, sure.
They specialize in cheap movies, which they shoot in days, and they turn them out in their dozens every week. And they're not really made for the Western market. So the lessons in the movies are quite simple and they hit you over the head with them. The bad people are very bad. The good people are very good. And it all works out in the end. And that's, I've ruined the story of every Nollywood movie because that's what they all are. But let's say it'll be a cultural experience to watch one. They show them at cinemas in Nigeria, but if you do make a friend and get to visit someone, everyone's got dozens of these things at home. Ask them to put one on and it'll be worth, you don't have to watch it to the end, but it'll be worth watching.
And are they going to be subtitled at all? Am I going to understand the dialogue? You mentioned how many languages there are. How popular is English for those of us who are, well, especially for those who are monoglots?
Most Nigerians speak English,
okay,
or Pidgin English. And because we've got that many languages, we needed a neutral language to communicate in. So most of the movies are made in English, and because they export them all across Africa, so they are in English. So yeah, you would understand them. Might be heavily accented, but hey.
Interesting. And I was going to ask, we're talking about a country that's equatorial. When should I go? Is that make much difference in terms of, do we have the long rainy season and the long hot season, or do we have pretty much the same all year?
Nigeria tends to have two seasons. Like you said, the rainy season and the dry season. Mm-hmm. it can be very hot, especially Lagos. Lagos can be really hot and humid. I just came back from Nigeria a few weeks ago, so I went in June, which is in the middle of the rainy season, which would sound like a bad idea because, as you probably know, tropical rain can be very, very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
It doesn't last that long. So, yes, it might rain an hour, but it's worth going then because it then cools off. You know, it makes the rest of the day cooler. So I enjoyed going in June. I have been, obviously, other times of the year, and I'm not a big fan of really hot weather. And so June's probably the best if you don't like hot weather.
When you were saying it's humid, I guess we failed to mention that Lagos is a coastal city.
Yes, that's correct. Lagos is coastal. The Portuguese gave it the name, I believe, and I might be wrong, but I think Lagos means something like lagoon in Portuguese.
That was my impression. Mm-hmm. And so when it's located there on the Lagos Lagoon, we're probably just saying Lagoon Lagoon.
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
That's always fun. I don't know if you've had a chance to see the Lonely Planet guide or what other guidebooks may say about Nigeria in general or Lagos in particular. Are there things they would recommend seeing you would steer people away from?
When I was going to Nigeria, just out of interest, I thought I should get a travel guide, and I couldn't find one. I did find, I think it was the Lonely Planet one for West Africa that had a section on Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst they did say things like how crazy and how colourful Nigeria is, I kind of got the impression they were almost advising don't go. That might be putting it too strongly, but there were lots of warnings about going to Nigeria. And I can see that point of view, and I can completely understand it, but I'll go against it. I would say you should go to Nigeria.
Okay. Are there any things that I should know? Now, I'm gathering you have two Nigerian parents, that you may look more Nigerian than I do.
That's correct, yes.
Is there anything that people who look like me should know that people who look like you wouldn't have to worry about, or vice versa?
Nigerians do tend to have a completely different attitude to race than we do here in the West. And so if you're Caucasian and you're walking down the street in Lagos, do expect people to point that out to you repeatedly.
Sure.
You know, but without any malice or any threat or anything, they are just saying, oh, there goes a white person. I best remind him he's white. And you should also expect that people would expect you to pay a bit more for things.
Sure, yeah.
Than they'll charge the natives. But that's not necessarily because of the color of your skin, because even when I go back to Nigeria, once they realize that I don't live there,
right, mm-hmm.
they try and charge me more for things.
Now, I'm guessing when you say more, we're still not talking a lot. We're still talking about a place that's relatively cheap to visit.
Yes, Nigeria is cheap, or rather can be cheap. It goes from very cheap. So if you're going out to eat, food's quite cheap. But some things are unreasonably expensive. So stuff like hotel rooms, you pay a lot for not a lot. And things like, I don't know, lots of things that you may take for granted in your country might cost a lot in Nigeria.
Okay.
Whereas things like going out, food, taxi cabs and things like that are very cheap.
When you talk about the hotel rooms being expensive, are there lower priced options? Guest houses, hostels, couches?
I'm not sure about hostels.
Okay.
But there are lower price options, but I would advise against them because many of the lower price options, you mightn't get security. And I should say, you don't get constant electricity in Nigeria. So most hotels need to have a generator too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And cheaper hotels won't. So the last thing you want is you're getting to bed in the middle of the night. It's 28 degrees outside and then the electricity goes off and you don't have a fan or air conditioning. So you should expect to pay a bit more going to a nice hotel. Or if you decide to go couch surfing and you decide to stay with someone, most people have own generators. So if you stay in a private home, yes, you won't have a problem.
And just for people who didn't figure out that David was doing Celsius there, we're talking 82 Fahrenheit. So
Oh, yes, of course. Sorry.
I think we have people who use both systems that listen to the show. So, but I think there's probably a few more Fahrenheit thinkers than Celsius thinkers. So I do want to make sure that we remember them as well.
I can't understand that Fahrenheit thing.
Hey, the Brits invented it, so we just hung on to it longer. That's really the... What's the best day you've had recently, let's say, in Nigeria?
Best day I've had recently? Well, I was there for 10 days recently. So best day I had was got up in the morning, went out with a group of mates, and went to eat. I should talk about Nigerian food because it's really, really good. And really, it was just a matter of driving into a market, finding a small restaurant in the corner of the market, sitting there for hours and eating, chatting, having drinks. And I know it doesn't sound like that much, but when you're watching the world go by at that speed and you're sitting there, it's really good. It's a real experience.
Okay. Who do you wish everybody could meet in Nigeria? Someone you've met, preferably. Doesn't have to be a prince.
I know usually when people answer this question on your show, I know it's someone they just met by chance, but I'm going to cheat and talk about a friend of mine. I've got a friend of mine in Lagos, is a guy called Tony, and he's a writer. And I think in some ways, to me, he symbolizes a lot of what Lagos is, because he's a very intelligent man, very hardworking, very optimistic, and a bit of a hustler, not in a negative way in any sense, but, you know, will go for what he wants. And that seems to be the Nigerian attitude, you know. They're not rich. Most Nigerians are very poor, but you'd never see one with his head hanging his head. You know, they're all always optimistic. They all believe that they're about to fall on good times, and if they just work a bit harder and push a bit harder. And I find it really, really amazing. I mean, coming from a country where, yes, people in the UK work hard and are optimistic too, but seeing that in Nigeria, it's amazing to watch. It just shows all the life and the energy that country has. So yeah, I'd say Tony.
You know I'm a photographer.
Yes.
If I want to go to Nigeria and take a picture of, let's say we've been talking about really mostly about Lagos, the prettiest spot there, the prettiest picture there, where am I standing? What am I looking at?
Well, you had to say prettiest, didn't you? I did say that Lagos isn't...
You did.
It's not the prettiest of cities.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of Lagosians, which is what they call people from Lagos, would probably disagree with me because they're very proud of their city. But it's not a very beautiful city. However, if you changed the adjective from pretty to interesting,
okay,
then I'd say go to a market. There's a place in Lagos, or there used to be because it's just been redeveloped. There's a place that was called Oshodi, which I've got a picture that I took in Oshodi the last time I was there. And it's of a really small area, but it's got 1,000 buses in it. It's got in between the buses, and these buses aren't parked. They're driving down the street, but in between them, somehow there are women selling bananas and tomatoes, and they've got these huge colorful umbrellas to protect themselves from the sun. And it's mad. I'll send you the picture so you can attach it to the podcast if you like.
Okay.
But that's the kind of picture I think you should take away from Lagos, a picture of life and activity and millions of people in a small space.
One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Nigeria?
There's a day, right, that, because Lagos is, there's a Lagos island and there's Lagos mainland, and they're connected by a really long bridge, which usually gets clogged up with traffic because people from the mainland work on the island. And there's one day I was stuck in traffic on the bridge, and I saw a man on a motorbike weaving through traffic, weaving through the parked cars, sending a text message on his phone.
Oh,
and I just thought, only in Lagos, nowhere else would you see someone send a text message on a motorbike whilst weaving through traffic. Only in Lagos.
I'm packing to go to Nigeria. I should not forget to pack what?
Anti-malarial.
Okay.
You would need anti-malarial medicine and sunblock and all of that.
Okay. Before we wrap this up, are there any other tips that we should know before we go to Nigeria?
I think one thing, I know I said this before, but I just want to emphasize it. You should, if you're going to Nigeria or going to Lagos, you should expect it to be larger than life. I'd hate for someone to get there expecting a laid-back city and then, because it can jar if you're not expecting it. But if you do go there with that mind frame, knowing that you're about to experience a city that's larger than life, I think you'll have fun.
Okay. Finish this sentence for me. You really know you're in Nigeria when...
when someone's standing right next to you, whispering a secret to you at the loudest possible volume.
And if you had to summarize Nigeria in three words, what three words would you use?
I'd use the same word three times. Chaotic, chaotic, chaotic. But in a good way.
And we should point out that this is from somebody who keeps going back and said he wanted to come on the show because you still love Nigeria. So.
Oh, yes, I love it. Yeah, I really do love it there.
So it's chaos, but it's addictive chaos is what you're saying.
It is. It really is. It's addictive. As long as it's one of those places that you go and... if you survive it, I don't mean that it's going to kill you, but I mean if you come out of it without your mind completely blown, you'd want to go back.
Excellent. David, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing with us your love of Nigeria.
You're welcome.
In news of the community, I will be at a Meet Plan Go meetup in Boston on the 25th of July. That is the year 2011. So if you're interested in meeting up with me and meeting up with other people thinking about traveling or planning on traveling or in some cases just returning from long trips, you can check out that meetup. I'll put information about it on the Facebook page at Amateur Traveler. That's facebook.com/amateur traveler. Did have a clarification from Michelle. She had written in last week. I had mentioned an email I'd gotten from her last week talking about her favorite episodes, that I was unclear about which Greek episode was her favorite. She said it was number 69, an interview with Alf Meyer. Alf was hilarious, had his own agenda, and you patiently humored him. And then she said her favorite South America episode was actually number 247, which was Chile. The woman was the most informative guest you'd had on, and she had a very poetic way of relaying her experience. And she's talking about Jody Ettenberg, who happens to be one of my favorite people in the world. So I agree. And I'm also interested in what other people say is their favorite episode. I also heard from Christine, who was the guest on the Wisconsin episode, which happened to be one of my favorite episodes in the domestic U.S. And she was asking about New Zealand because she's planning on leaving for New Zealand, or actually by this point has already left and probably come back to New Zealand. So I had written her back an answer. But she pointed out that I had gone to a lot of places in a 2-week period during my trip to New Zealand last our summer, their winter. I went in July and said, did I feel rushed? And I should really say, when I talk about my own trips, if I'm traveling on my own, I'm probably keeping up a pace that I wouldn't recommend for others. Because I know that when I travel with my own family, I literally have to slow down my pace by about 2 times to get to a pace that is comfortable for others to travel with. So I really get sort of focused when I'm traveling by myself and can cover more distances and can see more places than I would recommend. As I mentioned on the show, after a trip like that to Spain one time, we instituted a 2-night minimum stay because we tried to see way too much of Spain. I think we were there 10 days and we saw Madrid, Toledo, Sevilla, Los Pueblos Blancos, Ronda, Cordova, Granada, Barcelona, Sevilla, and Avila. So that's really more than most people should try and fit into that kind of trip. And that really wore out my family and I think made my son never want to travel with me again. So I think the best rule of thumb is don't assume you will never get back to a place, even if it's unlikely, just because you want to be able to relax, enjoy, slow down, and savor wherever you are. With that, we'll end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. If you have any comments, feel free to leave them on this episode at amateurtraveler.com or send me an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Chris2X. And as always, thanks so much for listening.